Jump shot. It's good. Zach Randolph does it again. 3-point game. They've got to go for three now. No choice. Conley for three. Ties it up.
First team all defense. First team all defense.
Here's Gasol from outside. The relentless Tony Allen. Shot clock at four. Randolph puts it up. Puts it in.
You are Locked On Grizzlies, your daily Memphis Grizzlies podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On Grizzlies podcast. As always, we're your host. I'm Mark King. Got Sean Coleman along with me. But before we get to today's show, I want to make sure to remind you guys, like we have been all this month, that today's shows are always brought to you by Built Bar. Built Bar has got some great stuff, guys. They make awesome protein bars. And in full disclosure, they sent us all these protein bars to taste. They were fantastic. As a guy, don't even really eat protein bars. I thought they were great. And they're super healthy. So go to BuiltBar.com. Use promo code LOCKEDON. Get $10 off your first order. Sean, what's going on, man?
Not much at all. Hope you've been well. It's nice to get back in the grind of things. No pun intended. But yeah, good talking to you again.
You know that pun isn't intended.
It could be intended.
No, it definitely is.
It both is and is not intended. Blow your mind.
Anyway, on today's show, this week, we're doing ours on national things for the Locked On Network. We're talking about what ifs, the things that probably, you know, did happen, or if they didn't happen, how would they change the course or maybe make the Grizzlies team or franchise look a little bit different? And so on today's show, we're going to talk about Grizzlies drafts as a whole. And this is a topic we could probably have more than one show on. And if we run out of time, we'll probably do just that and make more than one show on, because the Grizzlies have had a lot of mistakes in drafts. They've had a lot of errors in drafts, especially in the era of Chris Wallace, who is just run this franchise terribly. So we're talking about Grizzlies drafts and go back even maybe a little further than most people think. So let's start off. Where do you want to start on Grizzlies drafts?
I think it would be fun to start off in 1999. You know, that was the year. That's before Memphis. But at that point in time, if I'm correct, the Grizzlies were a year out from their first year in Memphis. But the crazy thing is that Steve Francis, I wrote an article about it in over at Grizzly Bear Blues, but it legitimately was almost 20 years to the day that the Grizzlies landed Ja Morant. And I just wrote about the parallels of how both the Grizzlies then and the Grizzlies, you know, in 2019 were at a crossroads, but the situation was completely different. While Ja Morant was, you know, a blessing nobody expected, and, you know, obviously he was on board with it, the situation back in 1999 with Steve Francis was he didn't want to be here, and the Grizzlies still took him. Well, it wound up being a big ordeal. And the reason why it's a fun one if to look at is, you know, what if the Grizzlies had convinced Steve Francis to be on the Grizzlies? Well, then that would have really worked out to, you know, a true star level player, kind of like we have in Morant now, that would have, you know, been there as, you know, for marketing, whatever, for when the Grizzlies came to Memphis. What if the Grizzlies had chose someone else? The 1999 draft didn't have a lot of just true superstars, but it had several very good players like Andre Miller, Baron Davis, others that the Grizzlies could have selected. So, you know, I really think that when it comes to the Grizzlies and their quote-unquote draft issues, them doing things in the draft that, you know, just there were plenty of cons that should have been considered or considered more, I think you go back to that time. And I'm not saying it would have prevented them from coming to Memphis. I'm just saying that their move to Memphis could have been a lot more productive had they maybe gone a different route even 20 years ago.
That's a pretty good start, and that's obviously a ways back. Probably a lot of people listening to this show maybe don't even remember, but yeah, Steve Francis was traded to the Rockets. Yeah, I don't pretend to know a lot about the Vancouver Grizzlies or even care a lot about the Vancouver Grizzlies, to be perfectly honest with you. But you know, I think that's a good window into this what if conversation of if he comes to the Grizzlies or the Vancouver Grizzlies at that time, do they even come to Memphis? Like, does that even happen? I think probably it still happens either way, but does that get them a jumping off point in terms of having a better player than they otherwise would? Because I think the trade wasn't a very good trade for them at the time. So I think it's a good start for the what if on the drafts for the Grizzlies. But I think we should skip right to fast forward a little bit on the drafts, because after that, it was a lot of good. There were, you know, some good players selected. There were some obvious miss. There was a Mike Bibby, Stramal Swift, all those guys selected. But let's skip over to which we obviously wanted to talk about first, was a more recent draft or two drafts, Kyle Lowry versus Mike Conley.
And it's funny, you know, getting back to, you know, Steve Francis and looking at the Kyle Lowry and Mike Conley situation. So basically, you know, the thing is that when you look at Mike Conley and Kyle Lowry, they were drafted back-to-back years, 06 and 07. And it wasn't the same debate then as it was now, where both players, where Lowry arguably has been the better player, you know, borderline Hall of Fame career perhaps, whereas Conley obviously has turned into a very good player as well. At the time, yes, Kyle Lowry was a Memphis Grizzly. He was picked as potentially being the point guard of the future. But that 2007 draft with Mike Conley, the right decision was made. That's not really where the what if, you know, is, because at the 2007 draft was much like the 2019 draft, in which you had two clear players, Durant and Oden, who were above everybody else. And then after Mike Conley, it turns into one of the worst drafts in recent memory. Conley was kind of the cliff, and so the Grizzlies went with the value pick there. But the interesting thing about the 06-07 drafts when it comes to, you know, what ifs, is what if the Grizzlies had never traded, you know, for Rudy Gay? What happens then? Do we really get the starting off point? If we don't trade for Rudy Gay, then what does that lead to in the 08 draft, 09 draft? And it's a pretty funny scenario. But another factor in all of that is when you look at the Lowry versus Conley scenario, I don't really think there's a lot of what if to be discussed there because the right decision was made. But it's the factor that is the Houston Rockets. The Rockets have been a popular trade partner for Grizzlies throughout their draft history. That's who they traded Steve Francis to when they drafted him in the 1999 draft. The Grizzlies' first ever draft pick in Memphis was Shane Battier. That's who the Grizzlies traded to the Rockets on draft night in 2006 to acquire Rudy Gay, and if I'm correct, reacquire Stromal Swift. And eventually, we wound up trading Kyle Lowry to the Rockets once it was established Conley was the future at point guard. So the Grizzlies have people may not realize just how big of a role trades have played a part in the Grizzlies getting several of the players and losing a few players who could have altered our history. You know, trades are how we got Pau Gasol, how we got Rudy Gay in the 06 draft, you know, how we got OJ Mayo. We also traded the rights away, you know, to Kevin Love and some others. But that 06-07 draft was really the start of, you know, the Grizzlies making, while it may not necessarily be intelligent decisions, pivotal decisions, where each year the decision that they made would highly impact the others, which of course led to 2009.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a pretty good, it's a good thought in terms of, but my thought is with Kyle Lowry and Mike Conley is, what if they could actually have got them to play together? You know, like what if they had actually got reasonable production out of both those guys? And then obviously Mike Conley took a little longer to develop than they probably would have liked. But what if they had gotten reasonable production and you could have seen Kyle Lowry and Mike Conley of recent years together on the same team? Man, that would have been something fun to watch. I know they're guys that play a very similar style of basketball. I don't know if you'd ever be able to get them to play, you know, together. But you saw in the later years of Mike Conley where the offense was a lot better in terms of him playing off the ball and being able to shoot better, you know, from three, all that kind of stuff. His offense took a huge leap. So like, it could have been done, but it would have taken a lot different people around those two guys, different coaches, to be able to get the most out of those players that I think you probably could have instead of just trading away for some other piece.
And the other thing about it to consider is this. Think about that 2007-2008 season for a second. What if the Grizzlies had Lowry, Conley, and Rudy Gay come together and overperform the expectations of folks, kind of like Ja, Melton, and Dylan did this past year? At that point, you have three promising factors in your backcourt. Does that mean that you take Kevin Love in the 2008 draft, that you don't trade for OJ Mayo? Now, obviously, the reason why we traded for OJ Mayo, in my opinion, was because we didn't have a true two guard and we didn't have star power. We thought OJ Mayo was that over Kevin Love. But if the Grizzlies had seen that trio that of Gay, Lowry, and Conley really step up sooner than most expected, that could have meant that we would have drafted Love, kept him, and then from there, that leads to the 2009 season when, you know, the worst and best move perhaps in Grizzlies history occurred. Well, we drafted Hashim Thabeet over the likes of Harden and Curry, but that's later that summer we traded for Zach Randolph. We pick Kevin Love and add him to a promising core. We may never sit there and trade for Randolph nor pick Thabeet. So I think we likely would still have picked Thabeet. But that just goes to show kind of how in that 06, 07, 08 time frame, that really is, in my opinion, a hotbed of what ifs, a hotbed of if a player would have performed better or worse than he actually did, you could have seen a drastic change in how the Grizzlies approached the drafts, and that would have obviously altered what happened during the grit and grind era.
I think that's a pretty good point. I want to get to that, but let's take a quick break. We'll be right back. We're going to talk more about Grizzlies Jazz coming up after the break. Remember, guys, we could not do these shows without our amazing sponsor. BuiltBar.com is an absolute amazing sponsor. Not only are they an amazing sponsor, they also have amazing products. Products that are tasty. Products that are healthy. Protein bars that are just make sense. They're not this old, crusty, crumbly protein bar that you probably remember from high school. These things actually taste like candy. They're delicious. They're 100% chocolate. Not only are they delicious, they are also healthy. So they are great for everybody that is working out. Even if you're not working out and just want to be a health conscious person and need a healthy snack throughout the day, these things are absolutely perfect for you. Go to BuiltBar.com. Use promo code LOCKEDON. Get $10 off your very first order from Built Bar. Again, just go to BuiltBar.com/LOCKEDON. Use the promo code LOCKEDON. Get $10 off your first order and support the show. Go to BuiltBar.com. Support our sponsors. Support our show. Let's get back to the conversation between myself and Sean about the Grizzlies drafts. Welcome back to the show. Talking about Grizzlies drafts. Partner Sean Coleman and myself, I think it's an important note about Rudy Gay. And you said that, like, what if Rudy Gay and Kyle Lowry and Mike Conley had already been those guys together? I mean, I don't know why I think people misremember Rudy Gay. I really do. Like, Rudy Gay was a good player. Like, I think people like to bag on Rudy because of the way it ended and the way it all went down when he got traded and all this other stuff. But I don't think people understand how good of a player he was for that team. And I think that if they had possibly a different coaching staff, someone to maybe utilize him a little bit better, I think it would have been a much different, you know, what if in scenario. Like, if they just had someone to utilize Rudy better, or like you mentioned, maybe Kyle and Mike and Rudy all played, maybe outperform themselves a little bit more. But, like, you know, that even his second year in the league, he scored 20 points a game. Like, I think people forget about that.
And that's the thing about it is that, you know, what the Grizzlies were hoping that they got, what the Grizzlies were thinking that they were going to get with OJ Mayo, they had with Rudy Gay. The Grizzlies had Pau Gasol, but beyond that, they were now in their fifth or sixth season in Memphis. By that time, you kind of were growing out of the, kind of when you're starting a new job, that first 90 days in which it's okay, you're kind of, you know, it's still in your, you know, hey, I'm new period. The Grizzlies had grown out of that. And though they had a little bit of success making the playoffs, you know, they were ready to build on that. They didn't want to fall back into obscurity and the franchise potentially wind up like they were in Vancouver. So they made moves. They went for it. And yes, in my opinion, at the time that Gay was traded for by the Grizzlies, you could have made the argument that he was the second most naturally talented player to ever put on a Grizzlies uniform. Maybe third, depends on where you go with Sharif Abdul-Rahim.
But yes, Rudy Gay was a very encouraging player. He, in my opinion, was the true, hey, this guy could turn into a significant, like, recognized around the NBA talent. Besides Pau Gasol, he was our next example of that, and I don't think he gets that credit. He didn't materialize like people had hoped he would, because him and Lionel Hollins had their differences during the early part of the grit and grind era. But yes, if there was a star, if there was a figure who you looked at for star power once Powell was gone, it was Rudy Gay in the eyes of many with the Grizzlies.
No, I think you mentioned the what if of OJ Mayo and Kevin Love. I mean, you think about that. If you draft Kevin Love and you keep him instead of trading for OJ Mayo, like you mentioned, that they thought they maybe needed that true two guard when they may have already had that or been able to do that with Kyle and Mike together on the team. You keep Kevin Love and you got Kevin, Rudy, Mark, Mike, and Kyle Lowry as a start. I mean, that's a pretty good starting unit. I mean, and Kevin Love obviously was good. I mean, obviously, much better than I think OJ Mayo was as a career for sure. So like you keep Kevin Love, and I think, I think that 09-10 team is a much different team than it was.
You don't trade for Zach Randolph.
That's true. You don't trade for Zach Randolph. And something we already recorded a show with Anthony Sane, and he had kind of said the same thing. Like, if you don't trade for Kevin Love, then Zach, maybe that doesn't even, you never have grit and grind, as like nothing ever happens if you don't trade for Kevin Love. Because you don't get Zach Randolph. You possibly don't even have Tony Allen, but none of that stuff after that happens. But while that's true, what happens if you have Kevin Love, who has, again, like I mentioned, a much better career than OJ Mayo, like much, much better. Like, you'd want to have, you look at those two players right now side by side, you take Kevin Love over OJ Mayo every day of the week, especially those years when he was in Minnesota. I mean, that guy was just amazing. So like that changes the game altogether for this team. And it is I think it's a very, very different team over the course of the next few years, but I think possibly a much better team.
Agreed. That's the thing about it. At the end of the day, I feel like that, of course, at this time, the Grizzlies then, Kevin Love, OJ Mayo situation was in 2008. Well, after that, of course, we push to get Hashim Thabeet instead of, obviously other guards who turned into Hall of Fame, level players. But at that point, if you keep Kevin Love and he has a very good rookie year like he did, do you still push for Thabeet to be able to complete a starting lineup? At this point, we didn't know Mark Gasol was going to turn into Mark Gasol. You could have had either scenario play out if you would have kept Kevin Love instead of trading him. You could see them push him for Thabeet and be wrong again, or they may have settled for the best player. But if you keep Kevin Love, I agree that it opens up the door for a higher potential team. Because if that's the point, then in that 09 draft, we take the best player available. You sit there and you add Harden or Curry to the Grizzlies. Well, now you've got a very modern, perimeter-based score offensive team that's a completely different identity than what you had during the grit and grind era.
Look, even if you don't – all right, let's just say you – we're obviously playing what ifs, but so you Marc Gasol, obviously you take a gamble on Marc Gasol, but even in 2008, 2009, after that draft, Marc Gasol was still a decent player. He was a 11-5 guy off. I mean, a player, center for you, starting. So like, even if Mark never really develops into Marc Gasol, because, if you have Kevin Love, then maybe he doesn't get the time or patience that he needed to become Marc Gasol. I don't know. But let's just say you don't draft Hashim Thabeet, and let's just say you put James Harden on that team for whatever speculation that James Harden would you would have taken James Harden. But then you're looking at OJ Mayo, James Harden, Kevin Love, Marc Gasol, Mike Conley. I mean, that right there is one of the better starting lineups I could think of when you're talking about what ifs and drafts.
Well, yeah, and we're looking at this through Grizzlies covered glasses. This is a perfect what if scenario. But like, OJ Mayo probably would be gone because you would have Love. But at the end of the day, your starting lineup that you're looking at is Mike Conley, likely Steph Curry or James Harden, Rudy Gay, Kevin Love, and Mark Gasol. that would have been one of the more, in my opinion, advanced, deep offenses.
Did I say O.J. Mayo in that starting lineup when I was running? Okay, my bad. I didn't mean to say O.J. Mayo then. Yeah. But you know what I mean. The lineup you said is what I meant. That lineup is awesome.
Yeah, just think about Marc Gasol. The thing about it is that you become you very much become a European team, in my opinion, obviously with Gasol there. But you've got bigs who can shoot. Obviously, you've got Love's rebounding ability. Now, we likely would have had to outscore teams because we're likely not as good defensively. But yes, our offensive ceiling is so much better. Now, the thing that you run into are a few things. Number one, I don't think with that team you have as enduring of a culture that's created. And the second thing is, I honestly don't think that if you have Gay, Curry, and Love all together, I don't think that they wind up staying there the whole time. Because you got to think about it. Though people may think Golden State's not that big of a market, it's still San Francisco. Yeah, Kevin Love may have stayed in Memphis much longer than Curry. But those are if we're really going to dive into this what if, the ceiling of that potential reality has a much higher ceiling than Grit and Grind. I think, though, that the chances of it lasting as long as Grit and Grind did are certainly not there. And I also think that the culture that the Grizzlies representing Memphis, the city itself, that doesn't occur. So, yeah, your championship potential is certainly higher, but it's much more high risk, high reward if the Grizzlies went that reality instead of the way that they did, getting Allen, getting Randolph to combine with Gasol and Conley. That's kind of how I look at the what ifs of those two scenarios.
No, I think you're absolutely right. But, you know, we can talk about, you know, actually, let's take a quick break and we'll continue this conversation. I don't want to get behind, so let's take a quick break. I got a good point I need to make, too, about this what if. Let me tell you about the most useful app on my phone. Blinkist is really unique, and it works on your phone, your tablet, and your web browser. Blinkist takes the best key takeaways, the need-to-know information from thousands of nonfiction books, and condenses them into down just 15 minutes that you can read or listen to. Successful people like business leaders are well-known for reading a lot of books. Blinkist is made for busy people just like you who want to get the main points of a book quickly so you can start using that information right away. And with its audio feature, Blinkist makes it easy to finish a book during your commute, on your lunch break, or while you exercise. I use Blinkist all the time when I'm driving in the car. It's super easy to use. It's a super easy app to use. One of my favorite books on there right now is The Sports Gene, Inside the Science of Extraordinary Athletic Performance by David Epstein. That is a fantastic book. I highly, highly recommend that book. Go check it out from Blinkist. Again, when you get Blinkist, you get unlimited access to read or listen to a massive library of condensed nonfiction books, all the books you want, all for one low price. Right now, for a limited time, Blinkist has a special offer just for Locked On Grizzlies. Go to Blinkist.com/NBA. Try it for free for 7 days and save 25% off your new subscription. That's Blinkist, spelled B-I-N-K-I-S-T. Blinkist.com/NBA to start your free 7-day trial. Again, on top of the free 7-day trial, you're also getting 25% off, but only when you sign up at Blinkist.com/NBA. Welcome back to the show. Talking about Grizzlies drafts, what is for the day. I want to pick up right where we left off, and I started to go into this idea of this lineup of Kevin Love. I keep saying O.J. Mayo, but Kevin Love, let's just say James Harden or Steph Curry, one of those two, Mike Conley, Rudy Gay, and Marc Gasol. Now that we talk about that, and you talk about maybe they leave, maybe they do. I mean, that's what happened at the Thunder with James Harden. He had to, you know, eventually left because, he wanted different parts of the game. He wanted the ball more. All these factors play in, and that probably would have happened with those guys, but those guys would have been rookie contracts for at least 4 years. So you had at least 4 years for those guys to all be together, and you probably can't. Let's just say some of those guys max out. You can't keep them all the years you want to on the restricted. But even for those 4 years, Kevin Love's an all-star in his third year in the league. He scores 20 points a game, 15 rebounds a game, third year in the league. Even in his second year, he was 14-11. I mean, those guys, you know, and James Harden is a similar situation. Those guys developed very quickly and were very good players. And I know a lot of people will say the rebuttal to this will be, well, You know, Kevin Love wouldn't be Kevin Love in Memphis, or James Harden wouldn't be James Harden in Memphis. It would be different players around them. They wouldn't develop into the same people. And I find that to be largely untrue. I just don't believe that. I think those type of players, a Kevin Love and a James Harden or a Steph Curry, those guys are going to be amazing players no matter where they go, because they're really good at basketball.
Agreed 100%. And that's the whole thing about it. If you were to set up the potential of that situation, I think that we may do this. I think it would be an interesting social experiment if you threw out the potential lineup of Gay and Harden or Curry and Love and Gasol and Conley versus the Grit and Grind lineup. Obviously, you would likely see people choose the Curry and Love lineup. But I think that if you put it out there for fans of the Grizzlies, it would be a lot closer than you think. And so that's kind of – that gets me back to the whole thing about how amazing the Grit and Grind era is. When you really look at this team, when you look at that Grit and Grind team, it was great how they were able to have 7 year, straight years of playoffs. It was great that they were able to be, you know, more – they were – better as a whole than they were individually. But at the end of the day, did this Grizzlies team ever really come close to being a true contender? That's debatable. But they did set up one of those countercultures, kind of like the Bad Boy Pistons, that's just enduring. When people all across the NBA landscape look at the Grit and Grind Grizzlies, there's an admiration there. There's a light there. There's a positive attitude there. And I think that, you know, yeah, that doesn't have as much value as being a championship contender, but that just goes to me to show how wrong the Grizzlies – how far away from the best case scenario the Grizzlies were when it came to their draft picks, yet they still were able to make the most of it, you know, higher to a higher level than a lot of people expected.
I think if you just, I mean, we're talking about what ifs in this 2006, 7, 8, 9 draft range. We're talking about what ifs like they're crazy things, but these aren't even crazy things like that we're talking about. These are things that if you just keep Kevin Love, and if you just select James Harden, these are things that like everybody in their rational mind was thinking at the same time when they drafted these people. Like it wasn't like something crazy, like, oh my gosh, you traded for this weird person and it became something. It wasn't like a Marc Gasol where you traded for Marc Gasol, who was a second round pick, and no one knew who Marc Gasol was, but he became a very good player, an excellent NBA player. But that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about like just doing the bare minimum. We're talking about the bare minimum of just doing what everybody else around you thinks you should do. And then you're like, oh, wow, we'll have this awesome team if you just like did the bare minimum of smart thing to do.
Exactly. I think that out of all that we have talked about, Mark, that is the central point that, you know, a lot of times Chris Wallace missed out on. And it wasn't this clear when we were drafting further in the drafts. You know, Chris Wallace, he made a lot of wrong decisions. You know, he may have drafted, you know, decent talents. They just didn't work out. But I agree with you. This isn't as if we're talking about, well, if this team did this team did that, well, then the Grizzlies would have gotten these players. The Grizzlies had Kevin. They drafted the rights to Kevin Love. Steph Curry and James Harden were on the board when we drafted Hasheem to beat. So there is a very good likelihood things could have completely changed if rational decisions had been made at the time. But the thing about running a sports franchise is that you've got to be able to prepare for the what ifs. You've got to be able to prepare if rational decisions are not made. That's why I'm so grateful that in the past 2 years, the Grizzlies have made rational decisions that really have allowed for them to be able to set themselves up for the future. Because as you see a decade ago, the Grizzlies got really lucky with these four, with the core four buying into what they want, buying into the philosophy here and making it more than a lot of people thought it would be. We didn't go rational then. It didn't work. It worked out. It doesn't always work out that way. So
perhaps, I'd say that the core four was 75% luck, maybe more.
Yeah. Oh yeah. 100%. 100%. The way that I describe it is that the core four was a solid structure of success that overshadowed the flaws of Chris Wallace. The moves that he could not make, you didn't really think about them that much because we were winning. But as soon as the limitations of the core four or the Grit and Grind era were there, the Grit and Grind era wasn't meant to last for a long time. because we didn't draft well, and the philosophy that we played with was only going to be as good as the players being in their prime. Once they aged, we could no longer hide Chris Wallace's inefficiencies, and so it ended. But that's the thing about it, is that I agree completely. It was a lot of luck, and thankfully it happened despite our irrational decisions towards the end of, you know, the 2000s.
I think you're absolutely right. I think we probably just bummed all the Grizzlies fans out that are listening to the show. But guys, don't be bummed out. Don't dwell on the past. I'd say look towards the future. Sean, I appreciate it. We're out of time on today's show. We're probably going to have to do another show on drafts 2010 to present, because there are so many wrong choices and what ifs in 2010 through 2016, 17 that we just don't have time to get into today. So let's plan on doing another show about what ifs on Grizzlies drafts. And don't be bummed out about the past. Look towards the future.
Exactly. The one thing that I will end with is this, is that we weren't rational in the past. It worked out okay due to luck. We were rational in the present. Now we've got a team with arguably a higher ceiling than any that have ever played in Memphis. So in the end, it worked out just fine.
Absolutely. We'll do another show. Appreciate you guys. As always, make sure you go subscribe to the show in whatever podcast platform you're using. Go follow myself and Sean on Twitter. I appreciate you guys. Tune in next time.